Most people seek out someone who will listen to them. Sometimes it's a friend, a member of the clergy, or even a psychoanalyst. The Marvel Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, "We often hope that they will be listening and not judging."
Faithfully, 4 days a week, and for 3 years at precisely 10 a.m., I rode the subway from downtown Manhattan up to West 79th Street, then caught the crosstown bus to arrive at my analyst's office on the east side at 10:45. I'd lie on a couch, talk for 50 minutes, and leave. My analysis was part of my postgraduate studies in psychoanalysis. Was I less neurotic when I completed the analysis? Depends on who you ask. My analyst never said one way or the other, and my wife's opinion changes often. My own take is probably not. However, I had an experience I will treasure for a lifetime. With the analyst sitting out of sight just behind my head, I would lie on the couch looking up at the ceiling, talking into a void. It felt awkward at first. I soon got the hang of it. I liked it. I talked about my thoughts and feelings. There were many I never told God in so many words. When I prayed as a child, I preferred to assume that God was already aware of my thoughts and deeds in detail, and therefore to mention them was only repeating what he already knew. Actually, I edited my thoughts for the analysts more carefully than I did for God. Analysis was a little like confessing my sins to the priest, but more embarrassing. I knew the analyst had seated himself right behind me, so there was no doubting his presence. He was of the flesh, and hard to pretend that he wasn't there. God, on the other hand, was of the spirit and easier to mentally blow off whenever I had the kinds of thoughts that I was sure would make God wince. In psychoanalysis, I had no inkling of divine retribution. The analyst never issued penances to perform as the price for forgiveness, or patronized me by calling me my son. In the confessional, the priest half hid behind a curtain. He seemed furtive while performing his vocational duties, or, I wondered, was he so embarrassed that he had to hide from me? The priest always asked me when I made my last confession. The analyst already knew when I'd been last to therapy, so that there was less questions to address. I always wonder about the bars across the window in the confessional between the priest and the penitent. Just who was protecting whom and from what? The aim of psychoanalysis, its goal is to make the unconscious conscious. For all the hours spent in free association, interpreting dreams, being confronted with my resistance, and making excursions into the dark and wounded cornice of my personality, it was the process that stayed with me more than the product. Never before in my life had every word I spoke to another human being been listened to so carefully. I saw some parallels to one of my boyhood religious practices, particularly those regarding prayer. Every night, kneeling beside my bed, I'd pour out my heart to God. There wasn't any immediate reply, but I always found solace in knowing that someone was listening and that I was being taken seriously and not being judged. George Merrill on the shore.